If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
My two guests are on the phone, and their names are Robert Lorzel and Andy Pierce, and they have created one of the great books ever to be written about the city of Chicago. It was called The Uptown, Chicago's Endangered Movie Palace. There may be some people out there who don't know what The Uptown is. Probably true. The Uptown sort of closed for performance in 1981. But these two gentlemen, they are among the many people who want to save that theater. Fellas, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rick, for having high praise.
And I'm full of high praise for this book. It's really magnificent. It is filled with some of it's not like I haven't seen some of these photos before, but some of the photos are unbelievable, and the writing is absolutely striking and stunning. I want to ask both of you, first, let's go, Robert, first you. When did you first set your eyes on the Uptown Theater? And I'm assuming you set your eyes on the outside of the Uptown Theater first, and then I would like to know when you first set your eyes on the inside of the Uptown Theater. When did you first see it?
Well, I've lived in the Uptown neighborhood for 19 years now.
Yep.
I think the first time I visited the neighborhood was to see the Replacements in concert at the Aragon Ballroom down the street from the theater.
Sure.
And in the late 80s, I don't remember if I even really looked at the Uptown Theater on that occasion, but, you know, I got to see there's this corner of Broadway and Lawrence that has all this stuff going on. There's the Riviera over there. There's a Green Mill over there. And then over the last 20 years, as I've lived in the neighborhood, I've walked past it countless times and kind of wondered, what's it like inside there?
Yeah.
But it was only while I was working on this book, in the last year that I finally got to go inside.
Did Andy take you inside, or how did you get inside? You just banged on a door?
Banging on a door is probably not going to get you in there.
Yeah, no kidding.
I did get permission from the management to go inside.
Andy, what about you? The first time you saw it, do you remember that?
I do. I landed in Chicago in March of 1995. I came here to work for Lerner Newspapers, and at the same time for Uptown Tobacco at North and Wells. So it took two jobs to pay rent on a studio apartment at that time in Uptown. So, I'm walking to get breakfast at the Uptown Snack Shop, and I see a Broadway, a theater marquee, and I pat myself on the back. I'm like, great, you picked a great place to live. There's a theater right here.
They probably have great shows here. Yeah.
Right. And as I got closer to it, I saw, the posters were about a foot thick on it. There was graffiti. It was clearly in distress. It was in distress at that time to the point where it looked like Hollywood had staged, a theater in distress, right?
Yeah.
It looks much better.
Yeah.
Now, the first time I was in it was to help clean up and get prepared for an event in 97 or 98. And just, there's nothing like that first moment and really first photo I took stepping into the grand lobby when you're like, wow, this is tremendous. And then it hits you, oh my goodness, it's going to take a lot of work. You know, those things hit you simultaneously because of the scale of it.
Well, and you have been now, when did you become actively involved in, I don't want to say trying to rescue it, when did you become actively involved with the Uptown?
I would say at that moment in 1998, helping volunteers get it ready for a dance party, for a rental.
And how did this book, fellas, how did this book come to be? I honestly, God, I think it's one of the most amazing books I've seen in as long as I can remember. And there have been a lot of books published about, Chicago and Chicago history and places in Chicago. What's the seed of this book, Robert?
It's kind of a roundabout story. And thanks for all the high praise you're giving me.
Sure.
I was working on something like a related but different project. I was basically sort of writing a book and posting it online chapter by chapter. It's not a physical book, but
right.
an experiment for, like, okay, how am I gonna get stuff out to the public and not have it sit on a publisher's desk for years? So, and that was something I called the coolest spot in Chicago.
Yes, you did.
History of Green Mill Gardens, the beginnings of Uptown.
Yep.
And so as I was posting that online on my website, which is robertlorzel.com, Andy got in touch with me, and maybe Andy could say why he decided to give me a call, but I think it was basically that you were seeing in my research, I was coming up with some things that are a bit different than the histories that you see getting recycled over and over again every time someone writes a story about Uptown.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Robert. I'll tell you now, Robert, that what you were doing online was so intriguing to me, and I was lazy and not telling you that, or maybe I did. I don't even remember. But and Andy, is that when you first encountered Robert?
It is. He was untying the knots tied by the ancients on the tomb, and I begged him. I said, "Hey, you're doing the research that we always wanted to do. That you're proving and disproving all these Uptown legends. Let's hold it for a book." When I got interested in the 90s, there was a 1977 reprint of a marquee magazine from Theater Historical Society of America.
Mm.
I wanted to learn more about the Uptown, and Joe Dusabella, who was still living then and involved with Theater Historical Society, he said, "You join THS and you get a copy of that, read it, then we'll talk."
Mm.
I thought there would be a book like this on the shelf at that time. It's obviously a landmark. It's obviously important. It's huge. You know, where is this book that tells me all about it? It didn't exist. So it's always been a goal of mine to pull this together, and only with Robert and City Files Press was I able to do it.
Let's talk a little. I'm going to keep you guys on, if it's okay with you guys, all the way to 7 o'clock.
Of course.
Because I'm going to use this. There have been stories about the book, and you wrote a very good one, Robert, for the Tribune, and there have been other things in Chicago Magazine, but I haven't taken my crack at it yet, and I'm going to use this fascinating in-depth interview as the basis for that. But let's talk about City Files Press for a second. There have been, and there are, and we all know, there are some, sort of a lot of publishing houses that will do quickie historical books that lack any sort of expertise and lack really good photos. It must have been a joy. Was it your intention all the while to go to City Files and Rich Cahan?
Well, we were near the top of our list of places that we thought could make this work. And to back up a little bit, so when Andy and I started talking about it, we realized this was last summer of 2024, so we've already got, we don't have that much time left before the 100th anniversary coming up.
Right.
It seemed like, can we do this and get a book out in time for August 2025? And a lot of publishers, university presses do a great job, but they have
Yes. Have you boys thought of the 125th anniversary? We'd love to do that. Yeah.
I'm ready.
And the other thing is that City Files Press has published a number of very beautiful books with lots of great pictures and photos in them. And I respect what they've published thus far. It's basically a two-person operation. Rich Cahan
and Michael Williams
do it. They don't have a big publicity department or anything like that. It's basically the two of them. So it's a small operation, but we talked with them, and I think it was a good fit for the project that we were doing, and they were excited about it too.
Well, the thing is, those two guys care. I mean, you two guys, as well as I know, you care too. But to have people who care about the product and not the cash register, though we do, and I'm sure they care about it too, is a rare thing. And also, they know photographs too, no question.
Yes,
no question.
Right, and if you're listening, and They All Fall Down, the Richard Nichols story, had an impact on you and brought you to historic preservation, like myself.
Yeah,
you've got this great respect for Rich and everything that he and Michael have done since. But that was a real awakening for me to read his story.
Richard Nichols' story? Yeah,
absolutely. And also a warning, you know, you got to be careful. You can't just go into old buildings and you got to be safe and do all the right things.
Well, he died at the, trying to take pictures of the old stock exchange. I grew up with Richard's kids. I knew Richard not as a, he was like Mr. Nickel, but I grew up and played with his kids, and he is a one of the great heroes of the in the history of this city. He's a sort of a preservationist, but he was trying to also catalog things before they vanished, and also fought tremendously to. That's often a, as you guys both know, that's often a tough fight, man, to try to save things that, that need to be saved. You can't, you know, it's not just fighting City Hall, it's fighting, you know, developers' checkbooks. I am talking for the next half hour with Robert Lorzel and Andy Pierce. They are the authors of a magnificent book, The Uptown, Chicago's Endangered Movie Palace. Even if you've never, you know, I'm lucky because I'm old enough, and there are many of you out there who are old enough to have some memories of that theater. And when you see it, when you drive by, I went up there yesterday just for the hell of it to take a look at it. And, you know, it's impossible to grasp what a palace that is just from the street. I don't want to see it go.
It is.
Yeah, don't you agree? I mean, it just there it is. And
the way to see the building now is with the book. And you mentioned the quality of the photographs.
Oh.
That's really a credit to the contemporary photographers. There's 12 different photographers represented there who have great color photos of it, most of it done on film.
Yep.
Then you've got the historical photographs from Chicago History Museum archives, Theater Historical Society of America archives, and then Michael spent so much time getting all of them just perfect. And that's why we're with this publisher and not, as you mentioned, others who do quickie things and cheap things. It's like, this is what this building demanded.
No question. We are all of us who care about history and Chicago and the vitality of the city, celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Uptown Theater. And there's no better way to celebrate. You can go look at it. You can go look at it. They do, I think, they still do tours. Do they not, fellas? I'm on the phone with Robert Lorzel and Andy Pierce, who have written a...
On rare occasions, Rick.
Very,
on rare occasions.
Really? Why is that? Why is that? Is it in such tough shape, or... Jerry Michelson doesn't want anybody in there. Jerry Michelson,
I
former
think concerns about liability and things like
that. Oh yeah, you know? Yeah, I get it.
I do wish they opened it up a bit more to tour groups, but there have to be limitations on it, obviously.
What have you fellows heard? And I'm hoping you're going to say, "Oh, he was very proud and pleased." From Jerry Michelson. Jerry Michelson, who started Jam Productions with Arnie Granite many years ago, 40 years ago, and for whom my brother worked for a while, wrote a piece in the Tribune about the anniversary and saving the Uptown. Have you heard from him?
Yes. And just for background, so people
sure.
fill people in on how, his role in this whole thing. So.
Yep.
With Jam Productions, they did a lot of concerts in the Uptown Theater from 1975 to 1981. They didn't own it, but, you know, they would lease the theater for a night for Rod Stewart.
You're telling me.
And then in 2008, a partnership, including Jerry Michelson, bought the Uptown Theater, and they've owned it ever since then.
Yeah.
And Jerry's trying to get a deal together to reopen the theater.
Yeah.
So I did interview him for the book, and he said he loves the book.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Which, you know, I was glad to hear.
Yeah, Jerry's a good guy, and I've been talking to him on and off about this, and some other people too, about how to make whatever could be a public-private partnership that might get that theater back on its feet again. And it is not going to be, as you both well know, an inexpensive proposition to bring the Uptown back to full and vibrant vibrant life. When you two really started digging into the history of that place, did you not, as I did in reading your book, and I knew a little about it, did you not like want to go back 80 years and be there one night? I mean, I'd be surprised if both of you don't dream about the Uptown Theater, frankly.
I think, Andy, I believe you said that you've dreamed about it, right?
Most people do report dreaming about it after seeing it the first time, and I've certainly had those dreams. And, you know, you can go to a theater such as Chicago Theater, Auditorium Theater, Lyric Opera, and get somewhat of a similar experience, and there are other movie palaces across the country that are, you know, approach the size and scale and impact of the Uptown, but there's really nothing like its Spanish theme and just the over-the-top decoration that it is. And, you know, you were talking about tours and so forth. The best way to see the building right now is the book.
You'll really understand
why it's such a heavy lift to restore it and use it.
The were you two both stunned at the quality and nature of the photo? You must have been stunned at the quality and nature of the photograph. You must have said, oh, my God. Because to see it now, or when you two may have seen it, and I've been in there since it closed, there's some shabby, the right word, dangerous. I don't know. It doesn't quite capture the beautifully garish heyday, does it?
Well, and there are, like, the scale of it, like, just to use the auditorium as an example.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in the auditorium and I'm looking around and I take out my, you're not allowed to take photos unless you get permission, you know, but I took my iPhone out and I'm like trying to get a picture of it, but it's just like, oh, I've got to swing my iPhone around, you know, it's like I need a 360 degree 3D image of this to really capture like what angle am I going to take to get like half of the room into my picture. And whatever picture I took, it just really, it's hard to capture in two dimensions in one picture what you are seeing with your eyes when you're standing there in the room.
Rick, those 1925 photographs are big glass plates.
Yes, of
course.
Hours
long exposures.
Sure.
So that you can have something in focus here and a block away. You just can't walk in off the street and do that, as well as the art photographers, the contemporary art photographers featured here. No, to answer your question, had never seen the quality that we reproduced, and we certainly hadn't seen everything that these folks had. This is the best we could put together and distill into 170 pages.
How many? I haven't asked you, and I didn't count, frankly, and sorry. Yeah. How many photos are in the book?
Oh, I don't know. I know that.
Sure.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's terrific. Good. Because this is not precise thing. Just drift in and go. Have a look. Robert, I know you did a lot of interviewing. You interviewed me, and half of it was like, man, I don't remember that show, Robert. I'm sorry, I don't remember.
You know, I ended up quoting some of your concert reviews. And as I recall, you told me that, I was not aware, Rick, that you were a rock critic for the Sun Times for a while.
The most reluctant rock.
And I think you said that was kind of an odd fit for your professional expertise or something like that.
Yes. They came up to me. Elliot Wald, very nice guy, who later went on to write for Saturday Night Live and do a couple movies.
Yeah.
They said, how old are you? And I said, well, I'm 26, Mr. Hoag, who was the editor of the paper. He goes, well, okay, you're the rock critic now. I go, well, but I don't really listen to that music much anymore, Mr. Hoag. I gave up listening to music when the Beatles broke up. He goes, you'll be fine. It was horrible. I couldn't deal with it. But I did it for a short time, and do remember a number of shows at the Uptown. You must have, since the book's come out, or maybe even before, and maybe you, Andy, being more intimately involved in the space itself, it must have heard some amazing stories from people who remember it during its, not in 1925, but during its heyday.
Yeah, absolutely. There's fans, there's employees, there's family members, and you know, the first call, I think, that kind of shook me up was about 10 years ago, and it was the second wife of Jerry Garcia, Menasha Garcia.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, is somebody putting me on? Is this for real? Yes, for real. And she's a very sincere person, and she's interested in this. This is where she met Jerry, and they got together and had a beautiful daughter, very talented musician named Keelan, and they helped support the book. And she had beautiful, fond memories of meeting Jerry and seeing the Grateful Dead there and then coming back when the Jerry Garcia band played there. And it just, it held a special place for them.
Yeah, well, sure. I remember, because I remember hearing stories from my parents, too, even when I was was a kid about the Uptown and the Granada. And these places were firm parts of people's lives in this town. Is it, when we come back, we got to take another break, and I want to thank you both, Robert Lorzel and Andy Pierce, for coming on. And I'll talk to you some more before I got to figure out. You wrote a great piece for the Tribune, Robert, and Jerry did a nice piece, so I'll try to noodle my way in somehow to write.
Well, there's always
piece.
More to say about it, though.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree. But you know how you're a great copy editor, but you know how editors are. They go, "What do you mean another piece about the about why we already did that?" I'll figure out. I will certainly figure out something. We'll take a little break and come back. And I want both of you, Andy and Robert, to give me a leap into the future as optimistic as you can. They're amazing, truly stunning book, The Uptown, Chicago's Endangered Movie Palace. I know that, we're dealing at a time, guys, when, you know, most young people who go out, and by young, I mean, you know, 40, entertainment's on a phone. How do you think, being as optimistic as you can both be, of a reborn Uptown Theater, and how do you envision it? I know none of us are businessmen like Jerry, and I don't know what Jerry Michelson's notion is, but if the Uptown is to be reborn, and I think we all would like to see that, how do you see that happening, Robert?
Well, you know, there are skeptics, and I've heard people say things like, you know, why would you build a 4,000-seat theater in Uptown instead of the Loop?
Yeah.
Or, you know, which artists are going to perform there? Who would be the kind of artist? What's the other place like that? I think issues like that would work themselves out. So if it's a music venue, you could have a band right now that is selling out two nights at the Riviera,
yep,
a block away, could sell out one night at the Uptown Theater and play one concert to about the same number of people as they do in two nights at the Riviera. That
mm-hmm.
makes sense to me.
Yep.
I also think, you know, the building has so much space in the lobbies and the foyers that you could use those for special events. I could picture an art exhibit in there, a fashion
yep.
show, a work of theater that isn't on the stage, but have like a black box theater kind of thing going on in some other part of the building. And maybe that wouldn't pay the bills, but it could definitely be part of what would make this a lively venue for multiple different things going on there.
Yeah. Andy, what do you got in mind? If someone listening wants to give us $100 million to fix this place up.
Absolutely. This is a legacy opportunity. And I'll tell you, entertainment may be on your phone, but also go to any of these venues on a weeknight. You can see the Aragon packed with 5,000 people.
Good
for
point.
A band you haven't heard of on a weeknight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good
There's
point.
No shortage of demand for entertainment. So somebody who's listening has this ability or knows someone who has this ability, you can connect them with Jerry Michelson and the city and get this going. You know, Chicago is the city of I will.
Yep.
This is a building built for all time. It's incumbent on us to find the resources to restore and use it.
Yeah, it would be an amazing, it would really be an amazing thing. I'm thinking now, what would I love to go up and see? You guys, having created a book as magnificent as The Uptown Chicago's Endangered Movie Palace. Have you two, it must be empowering to just have that book out, but have you two thought of collaborating on anything else again, short of Jerry Michelson having you run the theater?
Andy keeps mentioning doing a sequel to the book, or, you know, there's like multiple volumes we could have done about it. I don't know if that will happen, but I do think, you know, like if this theater ever does reopen, and I sure hope it does, documenting the process of reopening it would make for a great book.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I interviewed a very nice woman named Sandra Steinbrecher who documented the salt shed, the making.
And it's something like that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book. And it's
once in a lifetime opportunity, really.
Go ahead.
Certainly collected enough material for 5 volumes on the Uptown, and we could go down the Uptown rabbit hole as far as you want to go. There are other venues, of course, that merit this kind of treatment, and would love to explore that. But there's a lot to talk about with the Uptown, and I really think people are fascinated with it and want to help. With this book in hand, Rick, they are deputized. They know what we know,
yeah,
and they can help solve this riddle.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I will be in touch with you guys to get a little more information. I don't need information, just a little more conversation before I fashion some kind of piece for it. I think,
yeah,
you know, just I think I've got to talk, you know, what I have to do is talk to some like 25-year-old who didn't know what the Uptown was and sit there with him while he or she goes through the book, because that kind of stuff, you know, was part of my life. I mean, I remember old movie palaces, and there's still a lot of people around who do, but I would love to, because I barely know how to use a cell phone, let alone avail whatever kind of entertainment it might have.
Well, Rick, you know, the other trend in entertainment these days, one that I don't particularly like, is that, you know, there are some people paying some very expensive concert ticket prices, and young people that I wouldn't think would be able to afford spending $1,000 to see Taylor Swift or whatever, but it's important to them, and they are getting a big experience out of it, and they are putting more money into that kind of experience than I ever did.
Yeah, no kidding.
But certainly you could have, I mean, that just shows that there is still a demand for that live experience of seeing someone on a stage entertaining you, not just, you know, something you watch on your phone.
Yeah. The experience.
To another world.
I can remember, in a visceral, palpable sense, seeing, you know, Springsteen for 3 hours on the stage at the Uptown Theater in 70, whenever it was. And it was, I remember it still. Fellas, thank you both very, very much. Robert, you know how much I admire you. Andy, you don't know how much I admire you because I don't talk to you enough, but you'll get a sense of it when I talk to you later this week. Thank you both. The book is, you can both be incredibly proud of this book.
Can I just throw
everyone gets to see it, Rick?
The best way to buy the book is to go to the cityfilespress.com website so you can get it straight from the publisher.
Cityfiles.com, I would think, it's got to be.
Cityfilespress.com.
Cityfilespress, and avail yourselves of the other City Files books. They're all amazing. Fellas, thanks. I'll be in touch and write a story, but I'm one of my favorite books of all time.